is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, Titans and Patriots tomorrow. And Floyd, I know the roads are icy here. I assume they are not icy out there in the fine state of Arizona where the coach Herm Edwards is hanging out.
Oh, he got in 18 today.
I mean, I guarantee you, Coach Herm Edwards. Coach, it's icy out here. Don't tell us what it's like out in Arizona right now.
Now, you don't want to know. But I didn't get 18 in, as Floyd suggested. I actually went and visited today. We split up Arizona a little bit. Our whole coaching staff had to go visit 5 high schools. So we got about 60 high schools in today, just visiting the head coaches. And doing our due diligence, we've got some kids coming in this weekend as far as the recruiting part of it. So, no, Floyd. And there's a golf course right across the street, partner, and I haven't seen it yet. I'm just kind of watching.
You just walk by it and salivate every day, right?
That's it. I just kind of go get out the car and smell the grass. That's what it looks like, you know?
Big weekend.
But it's 70 degrees, by the way. It is 70 degrees.
We don't want to hear that, Coach. Big weekend for you, obviously, on the recruiting, and big weekend for the Titans taking on the Patriots. And I want you to put your coaching hat on right here. I want you to put yourself inside the locker room. You are Mike Mularkey. Everybody in the country says the Titans have no chance. Every media guy, every analyst, everybody is saying they have no shot. They're 13-point underdog. What do you say to the Titans players today and tomorrow before this game?
Well, a lot of people felt that we didn't have a chance last week either. And probably in the first half, people said, there they go. That's it. They had a nice season. It's ended. Now you get to go play Captain America. And when you play him, you have to understand this. What we can't buy into as a team is what's been circling around that team. And the fact that this era of Coach Belichick and Captain America and the owner, there is some friction. Don't buy into it, boys. Because generally when that is talked about on the airwaves, that's never a good sign to buy into that. Because these guys are ready to play. And we better be ready to play. And we can't get down in this game like we did last week. This is a different situation. The stakes are much higher this week because of who we're playing and what these guys are trying to accomplish. And so going into this, we just have to be who we are. We don't need to change who we are. But we got to have a mental fortitude to say we cannot allow this game to get out of reach early. Because if so, it's going to be a tough place to play. And I just think they have to be who they are. The quarterback has to continue to play the way he played last week. And we said this on air. I can remember talking about it. Mariota's going to have to make some runs with his legs, period. If they got any chance to move the ball consistently, he's going to have to make the unannounced play that's not drawn up. We didn't plan it. He just did it, okay? Now, with that being said, they got to run the football like they always do, continue to just be stubborn, running it, get some plays going in the passing game. When they get in the red zone, it's critical that they score touchdowns. They can't kick field goals and win this game. And, you know, and Mike's going to have to be a little bit daring, too, now. He's going to have to take some chances. You're playing Captain America in his backyard. And this is a team that right now, some people would say, well, they've been distracted. They haven't been distracted. This is the worst thing that could happen to you when they say this team is distracted because of all that's going on. Floyd knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
This is the perfect scenario for them right now.
Coach, what do you make of this Patriots team? I mean, we've kind of talked about them all week, but the idea, at least I have, when you look at the names on defense, you don't see Vince Wilfork and those type of names. And those that they've got some really great players in the secondary, but it's a lot of guys like Kyle Van Noy and Alandon Robertson and those guys. Well, so as a whole, Brady aside, what do we make of this Patriots team?
Very consistent. They don't beat themselves. They play to the strengths of their players. They only ask them to do certain things. And Mike knows that. I mean, you know, that staff knows who they're playing. They're playing against a team that that wins a lot of football games. The game is never out of reach for these guys. They don't panic. They don't panic. They're not a team that gets nervous in big moments. You know, they're used to playing in big games. Every time the Titans win another game in a playoff, it's a new experience for these guys. How do they handle that? The New England Patriots handle it well. Why? They have a load of experience in these games. This is what they do. This is the mindset of this team, that we play in these games. Just like anything, and Floyd knows this, the more you play in games of this magnitude, it's not easy, but you're more comfortable. And that's what Bill's telling these guys. Let's make them uncomfortable. They're already uncomfortable. They've never been here before. This team has never been here before. We've done this. That's the advantage they have.
You know, Herm, I look at these guys on defense, and I think, you know, probably both of us would have looked at them in the other years, prior years, and you would say,
yeah,
you know, the front seven's pretty good, but secondary yeah. may be a little shaky, you know, not bad, yeah. but yeah. just not.
Yeah.
And this year, right. it's almost the opposite. You know, the front yeah. seven is not what it's cracked up to be.
No.
But that secondary, I mean, they've got a chance to be pretty yeah. fair.
They do, and this is where, you know, it's going to be the Titans' strength against maybe the weakness of New England, and the fact where you continue to hammer the ball at them, because they've given up some runs. They have done that, but you got to be consistent with it. And then Mike knows that that's the way we got to play, you know. And I think Mariota's going to, like I said, he's going to have to be a part of it now. Because you just ain't going to run that back up in there. They're going to have eight guys on line of scrimmage. Sometimes a ninth guy will be leading up there. When they just think, we're going to stop him from running. We want Mariota to try to pass on us. We want him to throw into the strength of our defense right now. And look, they're not great rushers. It's not like they knock the quarterback down all the time. Mm-hmm. They don't. But they cause you to make errors with what they do in the back end. You know, they're going to give him different looks. They're going to make him throw into some coverages where he might not be quite for sure what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's why with his legs, I keep saying this, if he doesn't know, run. Just go make a play, man. That's what he did last week. He won the game, guys. He didn't. In the beginning of the game, their offense was so-so. The second half of that game, when he needed to make a play, he made it with his feet. He made it with his feet, and all of a sudden, energy got alive, and it's like, oh, man, look at these guys. You got to do that.
They have forever been a team, you know, that will give you a little something-something between the yeah. 30s, but yeah. when you get down to the red zone, it's kind of they go into a different gear. What have you seen over the years that kind of has always amazed
they,
you?
And you know this, Floyd, and you know Bill has done a fabulous job. They play situation football as good as anybody.
Yeah,
you know they want to get you behind the chains on third down. If they do that, they have a way to create some pressures to give you some different looks. When you get in the red zone, they tighten up in the back end because there's no vertical threat. They know how to play the marks on the field. They're going to bracket your best guy. Delanie Walker will not have a big game. They're going to take him out.
Yeah.
They're not going to let Delanie Walker beat him. No way. Bill's already said, hey, man, wherever this guy lines up, he's not getting a free release. Mm-hmm. Let's get him. They'll have a linebacker on him. If he's over a defensive end or whoever's a rusher, they're going to hit him before he leaves. They're going to make sure he doesn't beat him in the red zone. So Mario's going to have to make some plays. They're probably going to have a spy guy on Mariota. So when he leaves the pocket, they're going to have somebody spying him because they know the two players they got to stop if he goes back to throw, especially in the red zone, is Mariota with his legs and Delanie Walker. Mm-hmm.
Coach Herm Edwards is our guest here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coach Gronk, what do you do about him?
Oh, tell him to show up. Tell him it's a night game. Maybe he'll be late. Coach. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? What you got?
You know what you got to hope?
No, this is what you got to hope. Do what you guys did last week.
There you go.
Against Kelsey. and then nothing illegal. Nothing. I'm not saying it hurt him. But Kelsey left the game, and all of a sudden it changed.
And it was funny.
With Gronk, look, Dick LeBeau knows. Whatever we do with Gronk, we can't allow this to happen. We can't think one guy's going to cover this guy. That ain't happening, guys. That is not – don't even think about doing that because you got a bad matchup. So you better, you know, figure out how you're going to do it. Is a linebacker going to get on him and there's a guy behind him? Is a strong safety on him with some help either outside or inside according to how you're bracketing the guy. And I know this, if you bracket the guy, who's ever the deep guy bracketing Gronk, he has to have the ability to jump up in the air and play the football.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he doesn't, it's a pass interference or it's going to be a long game.
Mm-hmm. We had
That's what you do with him, Coach.
Yeah.
I want to tell you.
I mean, we've been talking all week long, and we say, well, we'll put somebody up there and we'll knock the heck out of him, and then we'll turn around. Well, we don't have that guy. And then we say,
nobody got that guy.
Yeah, we got to find somebody that can jump.
They made him in a lab. He's in a lab. They made this guy in a lab. He's a lab. He's one of those things, you know.
Unbelievable. The other area associated with that tight end, of course, is their running backs and what they do out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And
Coach.
So now, I mean, we're not going to have enough DBs. So, I mean, we're going to get caught with linebackers on those guys, and that's darn near as scary.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, Floyd, you know this. The thing that you know, now Captain America does a lot of great things, but, you know, the really good ones, they take a profit when they go back to
right.
And the profit means they throw to the back. They'll throw the back the ball. They'll throw it to him on a 3-yard check down. They don't care. And they just want to stay ahead of the chains. And you're right. Once they determine the matchup they want, the back on the linebacker, Gronk on coverage, they will continue to do that until you stop them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to, like, do it one time and go, we won't come back. They're going to come back to it. They'll wear you out. They'll make you adjust. And once you adjust, they're going to adjust again. That's the game when you play those guys.
Coach Herm Edwards, last thing for you. What absolutely has to happen for the Titans to win tomorrow night?
I think this. I think that they're going to have to make some plays that are unannounced, whether it's a interception, it's a sack and a fumble, it's a big return in the return game. You know, get one of those kind of scores or turnovers that you don't anticipate. You're just not going to win it playing great offense. You're going to need some help somewhere from somebody. And that can happen. This is the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. And I just think if those things happen, you got a chance, you know, and that's all you can ask for. And, you know, look, we get it. We know who you're playing. And is it hard? It's hard to just think about this. If you win that game, just think about what this team has done.
Mm.
They beat Kansas City on the road. They beat Captain America on the road. And then who you play after that, you know, I think you're gonna, whoever wins this game is going to play Pittsburgh. That's just my opinion, but I could be wrong. I mean, you guys watched the Buffalo-Jacksonville game. Watching that thing in the first quarter, I was in the office kind of watching it, and I looked at the way it was being played. I said, you know what? This has set offensive football back 50 years. I can't watch it anymore. I started working again. I went back to work, and I'm doing the calendar, as you know, Floyd, for the next 6 months, you know, trying to get organized. Let me just do my calendar because this is going to be – someone's going to block a kick, and they're going to win the game. I said, because this offense is 50 years ago. That's how they played offense. This is bad to watch. Oh, boy.
Coach Herm Edwards, as always. Coach, we'll let you hit the trail again. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Herm.
Next week.
Yeah. Yep, Coach Herm Edwards here on the show. As always, we appreciate Coach Herm Edwards joining us. Brought to you by your local GEICO agent, Wendy Beshear, here on the show. And Herm had a lot of different things that I really want to get to. When he said, if you're going to double Gronk with bracket coverage, the guy up top has to be able to play the ball in the air. Titans have one guy that can play the ball in the air on defense in the secondary. So it has to be that guy, right?
Yeah, and that's
your best defensive
your
back.
Best shot. Yeah, okay.
Coming up next, Floyd Reese's game plan. How would he game plan on offense for the Patriots? How would he game plan on defense and special teams? That is all next. Part 4 of his Patriots scouting report, the Floyd Reese game plan. That is coming up next. Jared and the GM live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Hey, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. You all know I love talking about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. Because when you got a team, you got to celebrate. And the best way to do that is with Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That is ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey right here. It is the best. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. It's Jerry and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. tomorrow. It's a full day of coverage here starting at 11 o'clock NFL Playoffs Live presented by Park and Fly Nashville. Then at 5 o'clock, and that's 11:25. Then at 5 o'clock, NFL Football Sunday Playoff Edition on a Saturday live from Drake's in Cool Springs at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard. We'll get you ready for the game 5 to 7. Drake's in Cool Springs. Come watch the game there. NFL Football Sunday on a Playoff Edition a Saturday, brought to you by Drake's of Cool Springs, Tate Ornamental, and Midtown Cork Dorks. And then, of course, post-game live immediately following the game with me and Chris Sanders, or Chris Sanders and I. And we'll get your phone calls as soon as it's over on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's time for part four of the Patriots Scouting Report. So we've done this all week. Floyd Reese, part four, the game plan. Offense, defense, special teams. The floor is yours.
All right. Let's start with the offense. I mean, I think the offense, we all can agree, is pretty standard as to what we're going to do, which is, I mean, we're going to have to line up and run the ball. I think they will allow us to run the ball a little bit. I think that their secondary is going to be strong enough that our receivers, I mean, they're going to have to get open at some point in time, and they'll play zone enough to get open every once in a while. But if they decide to lock us down, it's really going to be tough. If they refuse to allow us to run, that is, if everybody is stacked in there and they are not going to allow you to run, then you have no other choice but to let the quarterback run the ball. And I think if they're going to say, we're going to stop the run, in their mind, they're going to include the quarterback, which means they will close that whole core of the offense down, not let anybody outside, not let anybody upfield. And then you're onto your receivers, and you're going to be thrown into a position where you're going to have to throw the ball. It's that plain and simple. And at points in time, several points in time, if we're going to win this game, we're going to have to effectively throw the ball. Now, we're saying, and I think we're right, you know, we're saying, well, geez, if we line up, I don't think so-and-so can beat so-and-so, and we're really going to have a tough time getting open, and I agree with all of that. That's why I think to have a chance in all of this, you're going to have to scheme them a little bit. And if they're going to play man-for-mans, you're going to have to run some picks, rubs. You're going to have to run some double-move type patterns to get deep, things that we haven't run all year long. But it's going to – I mean, it's not like there are a lot of options there. And so you're stuck. I really don't like the options that we're going to have on offense, and that's why I was never an offensive coach. I mean, I just don't think – there's going to be a lot of things we can do short of lining up and trying to maul them, just trying to beat them up. And maybe there's a chance to do that. There really is. It's all going to be a matter on their part of how many people they're going to throw into the box. On defense, I really like our chances a little bit better, assuming we can do something with Gronk and at least slow down the running backs. And that's not taking anything away from the receivers. The receivers are good receivers. Cooks is a 1,000-yard guy, so he's legitimate, and he can run. Can he run past us? Yeah, he can probably run past some of us. But I think if you're going to take your chances, that's maybe where you're going to have your best chance, because I can assure you, I can promise you, that if you don't cover Gronk and the running backs, that they will – I mean, they'll catch 5, 6, 7, 10 balls apiece and score however many touchdowns. It's not that you like, you know, that you're going to be playing man-for-man on the receivers. It's just kind of that's your best matchup. When you line up and you say, okay, I've got Adoree on Cooks, that matchup is better for you than having, Woodyard on Gronk. Because you don't have a chance to win that one. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to try to play it and get caught in it and all that stuff, but it's going to be hard. I think Dick LeBeau will go about this three different ways. I think he'll back off and play zone, in which case he'll let, for example, Gronk catch the little intermediate pass, or the running backs come out, catch a little pass. But you're hoping, you know, that you get a tip ball, or they drop a ball because it's cold, or maybe we get a little pressure on Tom. The ball comes out oddly, whatever the case may be, and you move on. You get a chance to force them to punt the ball. Now you're in good shape. I think he'll play what we would call man free, which is you're going to keep a free safety in the middle of the field, and you're going to lock up across the board and end up doubling Gronk. In which case, you can always bring an additional rusher if you want. Not that he'll necessarily get there, but if you bring an additional rusher, a lot of times it'll keep the running back in, and that's one less guy that you have to cover. And then the other one is, I think, blitz. And I do not like to blitz against Tom. I think Tom, if he sees it, he knows it, he's going to throw it up, and you're going to be in trouble. But if we can't get some kind of pressure on him from a four-man rush, you're going to have to try to do something. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to get a cheap shot on Tom, have the ball pop out, somebody pick it up and run it in. Just the things we've talked about all week long. So, I think that's probably what I would do on defense. Special teams, this would be, in my opinion, special teams would be my chance to win the game. If there's an area that I am going to go out and sell and work on, it would be, all right, guys, we've got the best matchup here. That is, our special teams, in spite of what we think, I think are ranked fifth in the NFL. Theirs are ranked fourth. I like our returner. I really do. I like our kickers. And this would be the area that I would have to have two or three things in that would give me options. I would have to have a fake punt. I would have to have a fake field goal. I would have to have onside kicks. I would have to have all of the things that would give you an option to get a cheap touchdown. All the things we've been talking about all week long, how are we going to find a way to get a cheap touchdown? This is maybe, the place. Now, the downside to all that, on all those special teams tricks, is if they don't work, I mean, you are giving up a giant chunk of field position. So that's kind of it for me.
Okay, I got a couple different questions for you, or a couple different ideas or takes here.
All right.
Number one, Herm Edwards said on offense, Mike Mularkey's got to be daring, and that Marcus may have to throw into coverages that he's not totally sure of what he's going to see.
Right.
What kind of daring plays? Mike has been known in Pittsburgh for all the trick plays he used to run. What kind of trick plays would you be calling on offense, maybe to trick the Patriots or do something?
Yeah, I mean, you would have to, a halfback pass, a reverse pass, a throwback to the quarterback, any of those kinds of things, I think, is what he's talking about. Now, New England historically has been pretty good against those things, but I agree with Herm. I mean, I don't think you can go in there and just say, okay, we're going to run the ball, and if this doesn't work, we're going to lose. So,
defensively, which is better for the Titans, zone or blitz? Because if they zone them, they are going to probably pick up a bunch of first downs.
Yeah, but if you blitz them, it's going to be a lot of touchdowns.
That's what worries me.
So I would say zone.
I don't know. I don't like any of those options.
No.
Man free is the option I like the most, because then you can double Gronk, but I still don't like that one, because then you got to have a free safety up top, and you can't have Byard be up top, because Byard's got to be on Gronk. So now you've got Cyprian up top. Cyprian can't cover anybody, so now you got to bring Searcy into the game and put Searcy at that free safety spot. And I actually think Searcy is not terrible. You seem to not think Searcy's...
Yeah, I mean, all of those guys down the line are kind of the same to me.
Oh, I think Searcy's way better than Cyprian at safety. But, I mean, it's not like Searcy's very good.
Right.
I'm just saying, I think if you're going to play man-free, and he's got to be a free safety, because I don't think it can be Byard. I mean, you heard what Herm said there about the idea that if you double Gronk, the guy that's up top of him has to play the ball, or has to be able to play the ball, and they've got one guy that can play the ball. And he can play the ball very well, but he's the one guy that can play the ball.
Right. I mean, playing the ball won't be the issue for Byard. It's going to be the size. Mm-hmm. That's where he's going to get hurt. But I mean, you know what? The thing I love about Dick LeBeau is, you know, I can put together a game plan like that, and I will talk myself out of 10 different things for real reasons, you know, legitimate reasons. Dick LeBeau is not that way. You know, Dick LeBeau understands the risks, and there are points in time he's willing to take them, and they work from time to time. Now, he's smart enough, he's not going to make a steady living out of it, but he's not afraid to periodically do a little something that's going to, you know, maybe put a question mark in his head or get a good hit on him or whatever the case may be. And I respect the heck out of that. I'm glad that he can do that.
So that's Floyd Reese's game plan. Your call, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Again, if you're looking for a place to watch the game tomorrow or you live in the Cool Springs, Franklin area, whatever it may be, Drake's in Cool Springs, NFL Football Sunday playoff edition tomorrow. Going to be there from 5 to 7. And then, of course, the game. So come on out to Drake's in Cool Springs. Jared and the GM coming up next. What one Hall of Famer says Marcus Mariota's got to do if the Titans want to win. Can he? Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
Another question about Mariota. When you were in his shoes, you know, back in 01 when we play us, what's it like for him? What's he going through being in his position? And what advice would you give him? But does age trump experience? Does age, experience trump youth?
I think it just comes down to how well you play. At the end of the day, it's not like the old guys are going to win or the young guys are going to win or, you know, the home team or the road team. It's really going to come down to execution, and no one's going to be able to do it for you. You're out there, you're in the position to succeed. Your coaches have put a lot on you. You know, the team's really relying on you. You've got to go out there and make the plays. You got to make the tackles. You got to make the throws, the catches, the blocks, the runs, whatever it takes. So whoever does that better is going to win the game over the course of 60 minutes. It's all these plays matter. So we've got to go out there and we've got to make sure every one of them count.
Tom Brady. As he said, it's not about the young guy. It's not about the old guy. It's just got to make the plays. Brady would know. He won a Super Bowl against Kurt Warner. He threw for, 145 yards?
And yeah,
Warner threw for 365.
Yes, sir.
And Brady won the Super Bowl. Brady was MVP. 145 yards and one touchdown was good enough for Brady to be MVP. That was back in 2001. My question now is, what does Marcus Mariota have to do? As the Titans have landed safely in Providence, they're at the team hotel. What does Marcus Mariota have to do tomorrow for the Titans to win? This is what Kurt Warner, the guy who lost to Brady to really catapult Brady's career, this is what Kurt Warner said in terms of what he thinks Mariota's going to have to do.
Well, this is a tough one here because you have to believe that the Patriots are going to score points. And they're not going to be able to fall behind like they did last week and expect to come back. He's going to have to run the football. The zone read scheme is going to have to be in play. But he is going to have to make more throws in the air than he made last week. We saw a great throw for that winning touchdown. But he's going to have to go more swing for swing this week with Tom Brady and the Patriots. So going to need more of the pass game, in my opinion.
So that's what Kurt Warner said. But the word that got, or the phrase that got me was swing for swing. I don't think Brady can, or Mariota can go swing for swing with Brady. Just like Brady in 2001 could not go swing for swing with Kurt Warner.
Right.
So in this game, what does Marcus have to do if the Titans want to win? Knowing the obvious that Brady could go out there, put up 475 yards, and Marcus probably isn't going to do that. In your mind, what does he need to do in order to win this game so that when they do get inside the 30, he can make a play or two that can get them touchdowns and keep up the pace with the Patriots?
I mean, really, the only thing is they've got to be 100% in the red zone. You know, when they get down there, they're going to have to throw it in or run it in or however he's going to get it there, but he has got to score touchdowns. It's really the bottom line to me. It's the only prayer that we have from the standpoint there. We're in on the 20 from the 20 in the red zone. They're going to score touchdowns now. Now it's not every single time, but they're going to score more touchdowns than they are going to kick field goals all we do is kick field goals. So therein lies the problem. And he's going to have to be able to not only get down there, which I think surprisingly enough, we'll be able to do, with some regularity. But what do we do from there? Because that's where the whole story will be told.
See, I think Marcus almost has to, at this point, be willing to make a mistake. You know, if you're sitting there and it's third down and eight and you're at the 27-yard line where you are in field goal range, I'm not saying Marcus go throw a pick, but if it is, I think I can get it to Decker as opposed to take the safe thing and throw it out of bounds and kick the field goal, try to get it to Decker. Try to throw it up there. Try to get it to somebody to come down in the end zone for a touchdown. And you say that, and then he throws three interceptions, and you want to crush him and say, yeah, what are you doing? But, I mean, I'm just talking about the best chance to win the game, I think, may be being more risky down there. Because the one thing I do know they're not going to do, he's not going to be able to run the ball into the end zone at any point tomorrow.
Well, I don't think – I mean, in spite of what we say, I mean, a field goal is better than no points. And so, I mean, I wouldn't do anything to risk points. Now, I think if there is a risk to be taken down there, it would be from the play call. And I think maybe the play callers have to run more risky plays, but at least give the players an option of, if it's not there, throw it away and we'll kick the field goal, rather than just, you know, go ahead and throw it up for grabs and see what happens. Because, again, I don't... You know, I don't – I mean, we've seen our guys jump up and get ball, but that's not the norm. You know, you can't say, okay, if we throw 10 up, we're going to get 6 or 7. We throw 10 up, I'm thinking we're going to get 2 or 3.
I'm still okay with trying to get those 2 or 3. I mean, I'm just trying to think of where can the Titans win. I mean, you talked about in the game plan the idea that they're going to have to run a lot of boots and they're going to have to run a lot of waggles and they're going to have to run a lot of picks and they're going to have to really out-scheme and out-execute.
Right.
I just don't trust these pass catchers to execute right. Like, you run a pick and then Jonnu Smith's going to get called for offensive pass interference. Or you run a pick and somebody's not going to take the other guy out. Now you got two guys going where the ball is, interception Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, if you let those things happen, you're going to lose. Yeah, I can tell you that right now. So we have to make sure those things don't happen. And how are you going to do that? I don't know. But, I mean, we're not going to have enough opportunities to score touchdowns to screw any of them up. We have to find a way to make them work. And that's, you know, not taking anything away from any of the players, but play calling may be the number one issue there and what kind of chance it gives us.
Let me ask you another question. Could this be the last Friday that Terry Robiskie is the offensive coordinator of the Titans?
Oh, I have no clue.
I mean, I wonder, what if the Titans go out there and put up 44 points and lose? Does Robiskie keep his job? I don't know.
I certainly don't know.
I mean, I think if they put up 44 points, I think they win. I think the Patriots are going to score 30. The question is, can you score 31 or not? And your season total would tell you most likely you can't. But then again, you know, the Chiefs had not allowed 20 points all season in Arrowhead, and the Titans scored 22 and win the game 22-21. Mm-hmm. So nobody had done that until the Titans did it in this game. And again, how did Brady get his start? Brady got his start by beating Kurt Warner when they were a 2-touchdown underdog. Nobody thought they had a chance, and they ended up winning. Bill Belichick, who had been a failed coach, won his Super Bowl. And here's Mike Mularkey, who's been a failed coach. Maybe this is the start of the great career of Marcus Mariota. I don't know. But Ray Lewis said it. Ray Lewis said it on Inside the NFL. They asked him, you know, he was talking about Mariota and what lies ahead after this game.
This is for Mariota, right? Yeah, two things you want to do. You can either be popular or you can be remembered. If you go into there and you have a shootout with Tom Brady and play a tough game, you may walk out popular. If you go in there and beat Tom Brady and do what nobody says you can do, you will forever be remembered.
And so that's always nice to think that Marcus could be remembered with a big win tomorrow.
Yeah.
Although you have not, this entire week, you have not got me excited for the Titans' chances of winning. But we are going to find out next. Floyd has his Titans fleece on and his Patriots sweatpants, And we will find out who he picks in six pack picks coming up next. Plus, we have all the other games to pick as well. It's Jared and the GM. Nashville's Best Sports Talk is bringing you the best Titans coverage tomorrow with pregame starting at 11. That's right. 11 in the morning to 5 for NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. Then Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, the GM Floyd Reese, and I will be live out at Drake's in Cool Springs for NFL Football Saturday Playoffs Edition from 5 to 7. We'll have the pregame show once again at Drake's in Cool Springs from 5 to 7. And following the game, Chris Sanders and I will conclude the games all day after it's over. We will conclude that all day. Our all-day coverage will conclude. I don't know. I'm trying to read this. Whatever. After the game's over, post-game live right here. Your phone calls. ESPN 102.5 The Game. The best Titans coverage is right here on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fireball.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and the GM. Titans and Patriots tomorrow. Pre-game coverage. NFL Playoffs Live presented by Park and Fly Nashville. Starting at 11. NFL Football Sunday Playoff Edition live from Drake's and Cool Springs. Starting at 5, Drake's and Cool Springs. We'll see you guys there tomorrow, 5 to 7. And then as soon as the game's over, NFL post-game live right after the game. Lot of coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The game is on CBS tomorrow. That game around, what, 7:22, I think, is the start time tomorrow? Although I'm not sure what the specific start time is, but I know a lot of people are talking. With that being said, we've got four playoff games this week, and it's time for six-pack picks. Buck Rising is in for Ian Safar. Buck, how did we do last week, and what are our totals this season?
Now, the totals for this season, I believe you have, but last week you both went 2-4, if my information is correct. So, Jared, you may be able to fill me in on what the season total is, but I have you both at 2-4 from last week.
Okay, the season total right now, Floyd Reese is 64-47-5.
64-47-5.
I already put it
Stillman
out there.
Is,
man, what are you asking me for? It sounds like Floyd's got this down.
I got this down. As a matter of fact, Ryan messed one of these up. He is 50-61-5.
That's actually fake news.
Not that
I'm 51-60-5.
No, that's
Floyd's
where,
mad
that's
because
where the mistake.
I took the Titans to cover last week, but I picked Kansas City to win the game. The Titans were 8-point dogs. I picked Tennessee +8. Except that I picked Kansas City to win, so Floyd has all been out of shape saying I can't have it both ways, except that's gambling.
Can't have it both ways, so you get punished.
No, I will. I won that one.
There.
Both went 2-4. All right, Buck, where are we starting?
We are starting with the Falcons at the Eagles on NBC. That's a 3:35 kick on Saturday. Atlanta, the road team, is favored by 3.
You got to pick who goes first.
Floyd, why don't you start since you've got the winning record?
I'm going to go with Atlanta. I think the Eagles without the quarterback are not the same team. And even though it's going to be outside, it's going to be cold and all that kind of stuff, I think the Falcons are just playing so solid across the board right now that that I've got to believe they're going to find a way to win that thing.
I'm going to take Atlanta, too. Here's my thing. I think the week off in the case of the Eagles hurts the Eagles. Like, it would have been nice if you win a playoff game with Nick Foles to know that you can win a playoff game with Nick Foles. But I think the collective sigh of the city, like, all the wind came out of their sails without Carson Wentz. I think this is going to be the year that could have been for Eagles fans that they'll talk about for forever. Until they win their next Super Bowl. Remember how good it was until Carson got hurt. I'm taking Atlanta. I think they go and they rolled the NFC title game.
We move now to the Sunday afternoon game. It's the Jaguars at the Steelers on CBS. Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite at home. Floyd?
It's his turn now.
I'm taking
nice
the Jacksonville
try.
Jaguars.
Oh, good.
I'm taking the Jags to win, which means I'm taking them +7. The reason, first of all, when Jacksonville loses, they don't usually lose by a touchdown. Secondly, and more important here, Pittsburgh has just been way too distracted this week. You got Mike Mitchell talking about a rematch with the Patriots. You got Le'Veon Bell talking about his contract. I think the Steelers forgot they already got walloped by that team. I'm taking Jacksonville.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. And I'm going to take Pittsburgh primarily because they got their butts kicked the first time around. And Pittsburgh's not the kind of team that takes that lightly. It's going to be outdoors in Pittsburgh. The weather's going to be rotten. I think we saw how Jacksonville plays when the weather is rotten when they played us. So I am going with Pittsburgh.
We move now to the Saints, who are headed to Minnesota to take on Case Keenum and them boys. That game is on Fox Sunday at 3:40 p.m. Case Keenum and the Vikings favored by 5.
This is the hardest game for me to call because I really liked the way the Saints played last week, and we know Minnesota's got the best defense in the country. So I'm going to go with Minnesota. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
You know, this was the toughest game for me to pick. I don't like Case Keenum. I don't. I mean, I think Case Keenum is who he is, but I think they have a great, great team in Minnesota. And I've been really impressed by the Saints, but I'm going to take Minnesota. Playing at home, in the dome, week off. They're so good on defense. You know, they say in the playoffs, good defense beats good offense. That's not always true. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Saints win this game, but I'm going to take Minnesota, and I'm going to lay the 5 here because I think the Vikings will – it'll be a close game, but the Vikings will add a score late to pull away, but I'm going to take Minnesota.
All right, we move now to the main event. We'll start with the over-under, Titans at the Patriots, Saturday night, 7:15, kickoff on CBS. The over-under set at 48.
I think this is – if you're the Titans, you want it to be under – because we know that the Patriots can score in bunches. I'm going to take the over here. I say the Patriot, this game goes over 48 points, so I will take the over.
I'm going to have to take the over, too. I think primarily because, I mean, we know New England's going to score theirs. I think the Titans are going to keep it closer than people give them credit. And consequently, this game's going to end up with it's going to be a close game, but I think they'll end up with both a fair amount of scoring.
Then you have the Titans and the Patriots. The Patriots favored by 13.5 on the road.
Is it me?
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Titans. I mean, I think it's going to be a struggle, but like I said, I think it's going to be closer than 13.5. So I'm going with Tennessee Titans.
It's going to be a blowout, folks. I've held this in all week because I didn't want people to get mad at me like I did last time. Good season, Titans. Our goal was for the Titans to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. They won a game in Kansas City. Honestly, a game they really didn't have any business winning, down 21-3 at the half. I think Mariota showed outstanding courage and leadership and everything you want out of your quarterback. But, folks, this is Brady. This is Gronk. It's Belichick. It's the running backs. It's like for everything you can take away, you take away Gronk, I throw to the running backs. You take away this, I throw to the receivers. Are they going to pressure Brady? Well, they never have before. I'm taking the Patriots big. Give me the Patriots.
This is a lock for us, Buck.
Give me the Patriots.
Anybody he takes, the Sally rule always applies.
Give me the Patriots.
Go the other way.
41-13. I'm going to take the Patriots. 41-13. Would you like to give us a final score, Floyd Reese?
No. Less than 13.
No. We got to get a score.
I got to go. I don't know what.
Give me a final score.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
I'm taking the Patriots 41-13. And then look, and I know we're going to have a full bank of calls on Monday for people that want to fire the coach after they get run out of New England. You wouldn't be the first team to get run out of New England, and you're probably not going to be the last. So just be happy with how far the Titans went. I think this game is going to start off. Patriots are going to score. Titans are going to answer. But it's going to fall apart in the second half. Again, blowout. 41-13. We are back at it Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll have full reaction. Plus, of course, tomorrow, NFL Football Sunday. The GM will be there. I will be there. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders will be there at Drake's in Cool Springs, 5-7 for NFL Football Sunday. So again, that is a special playoff edition on a Saturday out at Drake's in Cool Springs. And post-game live, immediately following the Titans and Patriots. And that's all right here on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5, The Game.